Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, welcome to the November 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're going to pick up where we left off on Thursday with our conversation with Paul Tenorio of The Athletic. As you recall, he's on his way to Europe to write about some of the upcoming soccer games, including this weekend's Manchester Derby. We're joined by Paul Tenorio, the national soccer writer for The Athletic. You're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Paul, you'll be heading to Manchester. I wanted to ask you real quick about a couple of players with past experience in Manchester that played their first seasons here in the United States Major League Soccer. Just last week, DC United was eliminated in the first round of the MLS Cup playoffs by Columbus. Wayne Rooney had an incredible effect on DC United when he arrived in July. On the other side of the country in Los Angeles, Zlatan Ibrahimovic was greeted with a lot of pomp and circumstance when he arrived to play for the LA Galaxy and created some incredible goals this year. But the Galaxy finished 1 point short of making the playoffs this year. How can you put into context the effect of those two players on MLS this season?
Yeah, I think it's difficult because in the league there has been this movement, right, to bring in young players and players in their prime. And I think the best example of that is Miguel Almirón in Atlanta, the young Paraguayan player plucked out of the Argentinian league, likely to be sold for somewhere in the range of $30 million this winter. And as a result of the success of Atlanta and the success of these players in their prime, people believed that looking for players on the back end of their career in Europe, the big name stars, was no longer useful. And I disagreed with that sentiment. I think there's still room for both because those players still have quality and they still increase the quality of the league and they increase the quality of players around them. And I think that was especially the case for Wayne Rooney. Rooney came in and immediately became the centerpiece of a team that had been built largely with complementary pieces and was lacking that leader. And you saw the impact that Rooney had in that team. They went from last place in the East all the way up to a home playoff game. And he was the catalyst. 12 goals and 7 assists, but he provided belief for players like Lucho Acosta, the young Argentinian playmaker who was superb in the second half of the season once he started playing with Rooney. So he was a season-changing player for DC United, worth every penny of the millions that they paid for him. And Zlatan, he adds value in so many different ways. Obviously, he is a goal scorer, and he always has been. 22 goals this season, second in MLS. And he puts butts in seats wherever he goes. He sells jerseys, and he's still one of the best finishers in the world. And I think that is what you got. So there is still value to be had in these players if they have a couple of important qualities. And the most important quality they have to have is a desire to compete. We've seen the difference in players who come over who don't really care as much or just don't have enough to give. Steven Gerrard in LA is a good example of that. He just didn't have it when he came to MLS. But the flip side of that is David Villa, who's been unbelievable in New York City, Wayne Rooney now in D.C., Zlatan Ibrahimovic. These guys still have something to give, and it's been a great storyline this year in Major League Soccer.
I got to see the game last week here in D.C. Columbus managed to defeat D.C. United in penalty kicks after two overtime periods. For our African listeners, to give them a few players, a few names to follow if they're interested in picking up with the MLS Cup playoffs as we advance into the final rounds. You told me that there are a couple good players to watch on Columbus, which holds a 1-0 advantage over the top seed in the Eastern Conference, the New York Red Bulls.
Yeah, well, if you're a Ghanaian fan or a fan of Ghana's national team, there are two Ghanaian starters in Columbus on the back line, Jonathan Mensah, the center back, and Harrison Afol, the right back. Both have played important roles for Columbus this season, and you know, Greg Berhalter is probably the name at the top of the list for the U.S. national team, and people ask why. Well, he's gotten the most out of the least in Columbus, a small budget team, but they have fantastic quality, and they found great players like Mensah and Afol who have really been helpful in the style that Greg Berhalter likes to play. He likes to keep possession, build out of the back. But I thought it was a fantastic performance from Columbus, not just to go on the road and beat DC United, but then to play just a few days later against the Red Bulls at home. Really smart tactical approach to take out Red Bulls' press, and they were able to, Columbus was able to get a 1-0 win. Now they head back to New York with that slim margin and the very difficult task of getting a result in New York. But I think, you know, certainly one of the exciting teams to be rooting for, simply because I think they're one of the few underdogs that really have a chance to make some noise. The other being Real Salt Lake against Sporting Kansas City. Real Salt Lake is kind of, you know, they're the grinders, man. They want to slow the game down. They want to foul you a bunch and make things difficult. And Sporting Kansas City is much more about the soccer. They want to play quickly. They like to press in certain moments, but they certainly like to knock the ball around a little bit. So it's an interesting matchup there. And then you've got the two higher profile games. Atlanta United, I mentioned, Miguel Almiron is the best player in Major League Soccer, expected to have suitors from multiple leagues, including the Italian League, the German League, and most notably the English Premier League. The price on him is upwards of $25 million, perhaps reaching above $30 million. He's a fantastic player. And then there's Joseph Martinez, who set the record in Major League Soccer this year with Atlanta, scoring 31 goals, the first player in league history to surpass that mark of 30 goals. Just a pure, passionate Venezuelan goal scorer who's got experience having played overseas in Italy as a winger, comes up top for Atlanta and has been just a phenomenal goal scorer.
Paul, thank you so much for joining us today on the Sunny Side of Sports. For our listeners who are interested in following Paul and his travels in Europe coming up, you can follow him on Twitter at Paul Tenorio. That's T-E-N-O-R-I-O. And Paul, thanks again for joining us on the show. It's great to get a chance to catch up and talk with you today.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Next up, let's continue the conversation I started earlier in the week when we discussed some of the ballot measures in the recent election here in the United States. I mentioned that voters in both Louisiana and Arkansas were directly voting on whether to allow sports betting in their states, while other election results should influence whether states like Ohio, Michigan, Florida, and California would get in on the sports betting action. But before we're joined by two sports reporters from the United States to give us the rundown on the sports betting scene in this country, I want to welcome back Prince Nesta to the show. Prince, as you all may know, is Kenyan, but currently attends school in the U.S. state of Nevada, which historically has been the only state in the U.S. to legally allow gambling on sports, and those sports bets have only been allowed on site at casinos. First off, sporty greetings, Prince. Can you tell me what the sports betting culture is like in Kenya and in Africa as a whole?
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Dan. I would basically say that sports betting is actually on the rise in Kenya. I would actually say in Kenya there are more than 20 betting companies and they are pouring huge sums of money. So long as you have a smartphone, you have internet access, you're good to go, you know. And so this is not only happening in Kenya. I would say that there is a growing trend, especially when it comes to countries like Nigeria, Ghana, Senegal. If you look at East Africa, there's a growing trend in Uganda and Tanzania. So it's getting more and more popular.
Thanks, Prince. So I want to know, do most sports fans bet on games? How popular is it?
As far as like the numbers are concerned, I don't want to say that all youths, you know, engage in betting, but mostly it looks like it, you know, because if I look at my circle of friends back in Africa, like most of them engage in sports betting. And you know, Dan, look at it this way. 35% of Africa youths are unemployed And so they easily get stimulated by, you know, such grades, such opportunities. And so it's one of the ways out of poverty. And you don't even need lots of money to bet, by the way. You can bet for as little as half a dollar to win more than $1,000. If you ask me, probably I'm going to tell you that 70 to 80% of youths back in Kenya have engaged in sports betting. And one of the factors that have actually made betting more popular with the youths, you know, is like the jackpot prizes. You know, they're just too high. One of my neighbors actually won close to $3 million. And I remember this day, it was actually on a Tuesday. And that evening, there was a Champions League match. And I didn't see anyone on the streets. Because what people were doing is that they were really inspired. They were like, if one of their own, one of their neighbors can actually win, so why can't they win, you know? And so most people actually indoors that night, trying out their luck. And it was crazy.
Prince, with all this sports betting going on, do you think people are still able to enjoy the sports for themselves?
That's a really tough question, Dan. And the reason as to why I'm saying that is a tough question is that sports betting is actually a double-edged sword as far as, you know, sports is concerned. Because we've got people that have never had interest in sports, and all of a sudden, because of the big money involved, and through that, you know, sports is becoming more and more popular. But if you ask me, in my opinion, I think that betting is actually eroding the sport. In most cases, you'll find that the teams that are being selected, the guys that are selecting them don't even know any player in those particular teams. I know some of my friends who pray for their own team to lose because they want to rip big. And if you ask them, they'll tell you money comes first and their favorite teams won't pay the bills. And so it's a double-edged sword, if you ask me.
Prince, two final questions. First, how new is sports betting in Africa and why has it grown so much? And you've seen betting on sports in casinos in Nevada. How does gambling there compare to what you see on your home continent?
In Kenya, I would say gambling in general has always been there and is not new to Kenya. But sports betting is actually relatively new, mainly because of the smartphone and also the internet penetration. And with more and more people becoming technologically savvy, I would say those factors have really propelled betting growth in Kenya. So sports betting has never been illegal in the country. Because you know what? The government loves revenue. And that's one source of revenue. I must consider myself to be very lucky, especially in the second largest city in Nevada after Las Vegas. And I would say here in Reno, gambling is actually on a larger scale compared to those in Africa. I mean, you walk into the casino, sports books, and, you know, they have high-definition video screens, giant LED walls, and they have comfortable seating, enthusiastic fans, you know, who are always, like, in a party-like atmosphere. It's like a 24-hour gambling economy. People are always there, seated on the slot machines. The slot machines are always full. And so if you arrive early, you get a seat, and holding on to that particular seat is also another problem at the same time. But it's a really beautiful atmosphere. And I must admit that understanding betting can be a little bit complicated as far as America is concerned. But in Africa, although we have like the big casinos, I still can't compare them to what I see here in Reno and Las Vegas. So in Africa, people are gambling by using their phones, especially when it comes to sports betting. And here in Reno and Las Vegas, Nevada, the bookies are doing their stuff in a little bit different way. Quite high-tech, I must admit.
That's Prince Nesta in Reno, Nevada. You'll hear more from Prince about the weekend of European soccer on Monday's show. But we're talking about gambling and sports today on The Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Dan Friedel, filling in for Sonny Young. Let's turn now to two colleagues in the sports journalism world here in the United States. We're joined now on the phone by A.J. Perez of USA Today and Elliot Smith, a freelance sports journalist based in the Washington, D.C. area. Welcome to the show, A.J.
Thanks for having me.
Elliot, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
So, Elliot, let me start off with this question for you. I know you recently went to Las Vegas, so can you tell our listeners in Africa what the big casinos are like there? What's the atmosphere on the Strip, and what's the experience like in these famous sports books?
It's really an amazing experience. The Strip, I don't know if too many of your visitors or your listeners are familiar with Disneyland, but it's sort of like Disneyland for adults. Lights everywhere, just sights and sounds, and you get inside the casinos, and you know they're massive, and there's action everywhere: slot machines, tables, people milling about no matter what time of day. And you get to the sports book and it's more the same. I mean, TVs, dozens of TVs around, lots of lines, people following horse racing and any other sport that you can imagine. And it really makes for an electric atmosphere, especially if you are there for a football weekend, the NCAA tournament, the Super Bowl, any big sporting event. The sports books will be lit up with people watching and betting.
So, AJ, let me bring you into the conversation here. Elliot just painted a picture for us about the scene at these famous casinos in Vegas. So do you think there's any way that the states that are trying to make sports betting part of their local economy could ever match what goes on in Vegas?
No, not even close. Here in America, we had one of our smallest states, Delaware, launch sports betting at one of their horse tracks, which is they did a nice job with it. And actually, they partnered with one of the big betting companies from Las Vegas. But it wasn't the same. It's not the same atmosphere. And legally, they can't offer like free drinks like they can in Las Vegas or Reno. And there's so it's be hard for most of these states to compete with Las Vegas.
So, AJ, why don't you tell our listeners a bit about the evolution of sports betting in recent years in the U.S.? I know there's betting allowed to some degree, like you mentioned, in Delaware and New Jersey and Mississippi. What are some of the other states that are getting in on the action where you can legally place a bet on sports now?
Right now, Delaware, Mississippi, New Jersey, West Virginia, Rhode Island, and Pennsylvania are two states that will soon be offering sports betting, with several more kind of either passing ballot measures with the recent election or other bills that are winding their way through their state houses.
Thanks, AJ. So, Elliot, this one's for you. We just heard, you probably heard the end of my chat with Prince Nesta about how mobile phones and the mobile internet have made betting in Africa so much easier. You don't have to go in person to a casino to place a bet. What's the mobile device betting experience like here in the United States?
Well, I think it's really in its infancy. A lot of people are so used to going to the sports book and dealing with, you know, the ticket agent as you make your bets. The mobile industry makes it a lot easier, but I think people still also kind of like that face-to-face aspect. But on mobile, you can, you know, instantly make your bets. You can make bets as the game go along, and it makes it a lot easier. Now, when you are in Las Vegas, you may not always want to have that, you know, sort of mobile experience. You may want to have the full thing. But when it's a very crowded weekend or a very busy activity, the mobile betting does give you the opportunity to skip the line, you know, make a bet from your seat or make a bet from the table and not have to worry about going into the sports book. So the ease is there. And I also was in Atlantic City as they were just starting up their sports gambling operation, and they also have shifted to mobile betting as well. So it just gives you another option as you are looking to make sports bets.
Elliot, let me follow up with this. I think you and I were hanging out one night back in March when the famous college basketball tournament that goes on in the U.S. Was in its early rounds. We were at a sports bar in Virginia. We're watching some of the games, and at the same time, we're sitting around the table thinking, let's place a bet on a couple of these upcoming games. And you were sending text messages to a friend who was in Las Vegas. Some of that experience is kind of exotic. You know, you're in Virginia, you've got a friend in Vegas, you're placing a bet just kind of for the heck of it because you don't get to do it that often. Do you think some of the, you know, the glow will be dampened when you could just pick up your phone and place a bet using your phone wherever you are instead of having to kind of have an insider do the work for you on the other side of the country?
Yeah, I agree with you a little bit. There's something special about, you know, ooh, I'm going to make a bet on these games. And you know, all of us sitting around at the table thought it was a cool idea, and it was sort of like, oh yeah, let's do this. This is something fun. And, you know, if all of the states or most states have access to that, I think it will take some of the magic away. I think also, you know, you have to separate the diehard sports gambler with the casual sports gambler. I don't think that, you know, everybody is going to be so quick to do sports gambling if it becomes more accessible, you know, via different states passing measures. So I think that there's definitely a balance between, you know, the thrill of making a bet and just, you know, a diehard saying, I got to get my games in for today.
So, AJ, we talk often on the Sunny Side of Sports about the National Basketball Association, and during some of the playoffs and the Super Bowl, we talk about the National Football League. During the World Series, we talk about Major League Baseball, and as we just mentioned, there's the big college basketball tournament each spring, and the college football championship games. People are getting ready for those. Do you think that we've seen a change in how these leagues and how these sports support or how they feel about gambling? Which league is friendliest toward betting these days?
Normally I would say the NBA, but the NHL over the last couple of weeks, our hockey league here in the U.S. And Canada, has really made gains into kind of partnerships with big casinos and also big gambling, sports gambling providers over the last couple of weeks. But the NBA was kind of ahead of the game. The NHL put the first major sports franchise in Las Vegas. The NFL has kind of been a laggard, but they're even kind of slowly coming around.
So what do you think the effect is of having, you've got the Las Vegas Golden Knights now playing in that city, and we believe that the Oakland Raiders are going to be there soon. There used to be a lot of anxiety about having major pro sports franchises in Las Vegas, but it seems like after one season of the NHL and a future season with the NFL, things are going okay.
Yeah, there's enough safeguards in place to kind of ensure that there's been no kind of shady betting, kind of point shaving or players getting bought off. That's actually more likely to happen in the college ranks, and we haven't had a major college sports betting scandal here in the U.S. for a couple decades, really. So I think a lot of those fears have gone away.
So Elliot, let's do a little tourism here, a little conversation about what it's like to visit some of these casinos. If you're a person from Africa, one of our listeners maybe, who's planning a trip to the United States, you might hit some of the highlights, but you might find yourself interested in checking out one of these casinos. You talked to us recently on the show about some of the iconic sports venues in the U.S. So in the last minute or so, what would you suggest for our listeners in Africa who might want to check out one of these casinos in person? What would be the highlights for you?
Well, I think any of the strip casinos offer so much to visitors to the country. If you want to get a combination of casino and sports book, I would highly recommend Caesar's Palace. It's a massive casino, and they also have a humongous sports book, one of the best sports books on the strip. They offer betting on all kinds of sports, from soccer to horse racing, NBA, NFL. And the area itself is done, you know, to perfection. They recently remodeled it, has a ton of seating. They have VIP seating areas. There's a huge bar where you can sit, play video poker, watch sports at the same time. So I would definitely recommend Caesar's Palace as a place for your visitors to check out.
Well, thanks for that insight, Elliot. I really appreciate you joining us on the show today.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me.
AJ, it was great to talk to you again. Thanks for all your hard work covering the sports betting business. Great to have you on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
And that brings us to the close of the November 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. A special thanks to Sonny for having me in the last 7 days while he's been out. Sonny will be back on Monday. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
The U.S. Geological Survey says 71% of the Earth's surface is covered with water. A couple of recent studies have also suggested that there are oceans of water deep inside our planet's mantle. Scientists suggest after its formation about 4.53 billion years ago, Earth was a dry, hot, and molten planet. A heavy bombardment of water and ice-bearing asteroids and comets several million to a billion years later provided the supply of H2O we rely on today. Now, research by a team of geoscientists from Arizona State University proposes another source of Earth's water they say has been overlooked. The sun and planets were formed from a large cloud of gas and dust containing an abundant supply of hydrogen. The study suggests a combination of all that hydrogen, along with Earth's rocky materials, could be the origin of most of our planet's water. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. Two-Face, NATO C. Hey. Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.